Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It was 8 years in gestation. It cost between $200 and $400 million to make. But within days of being launched back in August, Concord, which was Sony's new foray into the world of online gaming, was spectacularly pulled from the market. This made it one of the biggest flops in gaming history. And here to tell us what went wrong and exactly how much money there is to be made in this gaming industry if you get it right is Adam Maguire of the Business Desk. Adam, good morning to you.
How are you?
This is a strange one because it sounds like a huge thing, must have been a big launch, and yet we don't really know about it.
No, not really. It kind of passed me by to some degree. And I used to be into gaming and I still pay a lot of attention.
Keep an eye, yeah.
Keep an eye, and you tend to hear about things. But up until after Sony had pulled the plug on this, I hadn't heard about it. And I think a lot of people, it's the same. You're talking about a lot of money. It's very unusual. But
which might say a lot about the confidence they had in the product. But
yeah, maybe, yeah.
Tell us about what it was called, Concord.
Okay, yeah, so it was an online multiplayer first-person shooter game. So that's kind of an action game where you effectively see through the eyes of the character you're meant to be able to play with or against people from all around the world in real time, live, you know, online.
So I would play this on my existing console, would I?
Yeah, you'd play it on, it was released on PlayStation 5 and on PC as well. So if you had one of those, you'd be able to get this game. And it was kind of futuristic sci-fi, you know, you could play as humans or aliens or anything like that. It was developed by a studio called Firewalk Studios, which was set up in 2018. But as you say, the people behind the studio were actually working on this game for 8 years. The studio was then acquired by Sony in April of last year. And it was shortly after that we got our first look at Concord. And Sony clearly had high hopes for this. You know, as people will probably know, Sony is a pretty big player in the video game world. It has its own console brand, the PlayStation. And when you have your own console, one of the key things to stand out from the competition is to have an exclusive tentpole title that draws gamers in. So if you think of Nintendo, you think of Mario and Zelda and things like that. They own those characters. They're only on Nintendo consoles. Sony kind of hoped Concord would be a bit like that for them, eventually building into a franchise with spin-offs and add-ons and sequels and so on. It would be a universe of its own.
Right, so that was the plan. And then the cost, I said, between $200 and $400 million. But we're not clear exactly how much it cost.
No, Sony isn't going to come out and say exactly how much they spent on this. Studios don't tend to do that. But high-end games like these, you know, what are known as AAA titles, kind of akin to a blockbuster in Hollywood, they have a similar budget to a Hollywood movie because they require a pretty decent-sized team of skilled coders, animators, audio engineers. You need writers because they have plot lines and all this kind of stuff. So it's a big team to make this happen. And, you know, based on the size of the team working on Concord, the length of time it took them, you know, 8 years is quite long for game development. Industry experts conservatively reckon it's $200 million that was spent to make this. Some think it was as high as $400 million potentially what was dropped on this.
So we come to August, towards the end of the summer, the big reveal, dun, dun, dun. And what happened?
Yeah, released on the 23rd of August, 11 days later, Sony pulls the plug, shuts the whole thing down, refunds anyone who bought the game up to that time as well.
Refunded people,
yeah. So there were something like 25,000 units sold worldwide, about $1 million of revenue, all got refunded.
God, it must have been a shocker.
It's awful. It's a really remarkable decision. Like, I'm not sure it's ever happened to a game, you know, certainly a AAA title like this. You might hear of it with major flops in the cinema world. Even then, they tend to get like a limited cinema release for a couple of weeks and then they kind of fizzle out. But to completely pull the plug and refund everybody is really, really remarkable. And it's simply because the sales were so bad. As I say, 25,000 units sold worldwide. And this is an industry where a big title in its first week would sell millions of copies, basically. And, you know, given that it's an online game, a poor reception is really fatal to how the game actually works, because you need to have lots of people on at the same time as you playing in order to get the experience of the game. Apparently, they never managed to get more than 700 players at any one time worldwide playing the game. You know, if you look at rivals, you're talking hundreds of thousands of players at any one time playing the game.
So my experience of this would be Fortnite, because it's played in our house, and you need 100 players per game in that. So you can understand that you need a volume there.
Yes, you need volume. And you need to know as a player that you decide you want to go on and play, you will get enough people to play with and you will have a fun experience playing. Whereas if there's 700 people at most playing worldwide, mm-hmm. you know, you might log on and realise, well, actually, this game isn't worthwhile because there's nobody else playing.
I wish you'd had a chance to have a go on it so you'd be able to tell us why it was so bad.
It's kind of like that thing of, you know, where a film is so bad you kind of want to watch it.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of thing, yeah.
But they pulled it so quickly you didn't get the chance.
You can't, yeah. So like, it's not even like a bargain basement kind of thing now where you can go and pick it up cheap. And even if you did have a copy, the servers are switched off now, you know, so it's gone. And, you know, bear in mind, it was an online game that was supposed to evolve over time. So Sony would have had a team ready to be adding things to it and changing things as they go. That work just doesn't exist mm-hmm. anymore. The game just is gone, basically.
So they wanted this to be, as you described it earlier, one of their tentpole sort of products
yeah.
that would bring people into PlayStation.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason for the big investment.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. And like, these are potentially hugely lucrative, these online games as well. Because, you know, if you look at the category, if you get it right, it's kind of a license to print money. You know, an online multiplayer games have been around for a long, long time. You can go back to Age of Empires in the 90s, you could play that. But they were kind of add-ons to a single player game. They were kind of, you know, throwaway little bits like that. But slowly they've become an industry of their own. So people might remember World of Warcraft. You paid a monthly subscription fee to connect to this massive online world of warlocks and hunters and so on. You can actually still go on to World of Warcraft, not as popular as it once was, but it still costs €13 a month to subscribe. So you mm-hmm. can see that there's a nice ongoing revenue stream there. You know, back in the old days, you'd buy the game and that was it. That was the money. Now it's a recurring revenue. And really, over the last 5 to 10 years, that model has been perfected because, you know, you look at Fortnite, for example, a game PUGB, Rocket League, they're not only making money from subscription fees, but also micropayments for accessories, skins, emotes, all these little bits and pieces that are constantly pulling money in, you know, and they hold live events to try and, you know, keep it interesting and keep it different for people as well. So they lure you in. Often these games as well,
they're
free, yeah. So it used to be you'd pay, and you could be paying £70 for a game. Mm-hmm. Now, games like Fortnite, they're free. It's kind of, you know, they pull you into the experience.
Yeah. To be good or
and
to
once,
win.
Yeah, once you enjoy it, it's like, well, if you do this, it'll be a bit better. And suddenly then, they're pulling a lot more money from you as a result.
And you mentioned that if they get this right, it's a license to print money.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Fortnite, for example, estimated to be taking in more than $6 billion in revenue every year. So that's a product that's technically free to play is making $6 billion a year. Hmm. PUBG Battlegrounds, which is actually developed by an Irishman, reportedly generating revenues of $13 billion in its first 5 years up to 2022. Still one of the best-selling games in the world. Minecraft is 13 years old, still generating hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue each year for Microsoft, which owns it now. In fact, a year's revenue from Minecraft would have more than funded Concord to be developed. That's how much money they're making. And, you know, so it's all to say, if you get a hit here, it can become a multi-billion dollar revenue stream. And that's probably why Sony felt confident enough to say, we'll put $200, $300, $400 million into this because it'll be a hit and we'll make billions on the back of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are lots of failures out there because you need to have the magic fairy dust in order for it to work. No one knows exactly what that formula is. But do we know why Concord was such a failure? What are people saying about it?
Well, you know, there's always lots of factors to these things. No one can really point to any one reason for failure. Some say it wasn't well marketed, the fact that a lot of people hadn't heard of this game until it was pulled. Some say the delay in making it actually meant it was kind of out of date by the time. The things they were working on 8 years ago was out of date by the time it actually came to market. But a big reason is that it's such a competitive market. You know, you have all these games that are very popular and doing very, very well. And there's only so many hours in the day, you know, and money as well. You know, so these things, they're a money drain, but they're also a time drain as well. Mm-hmm. You have to invest a lot of time. You get pulled into them when they're good games. So if you're a Fortnite player, you know, you might have invested, shall we say, a lot of money into it for your skins and your accessories. Maybe you're quite good at it as well. You know, you don't have much of an incentive to go and start something new and to go somewhere else as a result of that. So, you know, the incumbents kind of have an advantage here. And a new game, online game, needs momentum. You need to get your friends on there, because if they're playing it, then you might play it, or the people you watch on Twitch, if they're playing it, then you might try it out as well. But if they're sticking with Fortnite or mm-hmm. Other games like that, you'll probably stick with the game you know too and the game you're good at as well. You know, yeah, you'll stay put.
I'd just love to know why there wasn't a buzz about it, or more of a buzz in the lead up to the launch, because yeah, that seems to say that they didn't have faith to spend the money in the marketing.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and you see this in the film industry as well, that, you know, they go overboard in the marketing because they realise, well, we have to try and push this.
We have
this.
A turkey on our hands.
And especially with a game like this where, as we say, you need to have a base of players to make it work. Mm-hmm. You really would have thought, even if they thought this game isn't great, we'll make sure we really push people because the momentum might allow us to kind of get over the rough patch at the start and, you know, get a bit of an audience there.
And you mentioned movies before, you know, the ones that we know have flopped, that they spent a lot of money on, but they do tend to pull back a little bit further down the line.
Like, this is the interesting one about Concord and why some people say it's actually the biggest flop ever, you know, because even when you have a film that's a flop, they make a bit of money at the box office. They don't make their budget back, they make it big. And then maybe they pick up a bit more money in, you know, DVD sales or in streaming revenues and so on. And you even have some flops that actually become cult classics, like The Big Lebowski and Blade Runner, actually lost money in the box office but are now hugely profitable. But Concord is different because it made absolutely no money. You know, as I say, they had $1 million in revenue from the 25,000 sales. That was refunded by Sony. The game is pulled. You can't go. You can't even buy it cheap, which means that for all of that investment, that $200 to $400 million budget, there is no penny, not a single cent of revenue on the back of that game. And, you know, the game doesn't exist now. So at the moment, at least, there's no chance of them making any kind of money back.
And there's no one out there on forum saying, I played Concord and this is why it was so awful.
Well, there's a lot of people who are theorizing, but there's so few people who actually did play it.
Yeah.
25,000 people in an industry of hundreds of thousands of gamers. So there are, I read a few reviews of it and they're all fairly middling, saying, you know, a lot of problems, not great, but it's okay. But in terms of actual players, a lot of people, you know, have their theories as to why they think it flopped, but they probably didn't actually play it to find out for sure.
So what happens next now to Sony's gambling on the gaming industry?
Yeah, I mean, like, Sony's a big enough company to probably take this one on the chin. They won't like it, but, you know, they have enough money to do so. There is a chance they might retool it and re-release it down the line, maybe as a free-to-play title, as a way of trying to lure people in, because it actually costs $40, which is part of the reason why people didn't want to take a chance on it. But, you know, the experience of the negative experience and the negative press they're getting, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a hard pitch to say to gamers, you know, actually, we fixed it now and it's worth you spending your time on. But, you know, whatever happens with Concord, I think it really does represent a really interesting blind spot that kind of exists now in business and media worlds. You know, as I say, I'm into gaming. I pay attention to it. This kind of passed me by until a couple of weeks ago, you know. You're talking, if this was a film that was $200 to $400 million of a budget and it flopped in the cinema, we would all know about it. Even if you weren't particularly into film, it would be all over the press. But, you know, even though we have hundreds of millions of people playing games around the world, an industry that's pulling in revenues well in excess of what Hollywood is doing nowadays, it's much more important from a revenue point of view. A flop of this size has kind of slipped under the radar outside of the.
So we don't talk about it because people of a certain age don't play them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I think there's an element of that. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, people of our generation and even older would have grown up with, you know, some kind of games, even if it was Mario or something like that, that was, you know, relatively basic, you know.
Crash Bandicoot.
NES or, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know if it's quite a generational thing, but maybe people just don't realise how big this industry is because it's still a little bit kind of outside the mainstream. It's still seen as kind of, you know, something that you kind of do quietly on your own over there. But especially online gaming, it's such a big industry now. And like esports are massive now. There are countries where people go to stadiums and arenas to watch other people play video games. You know, so huge money being made in this industry. But for whatever reason, it's not seen as significant as a film, for example. I suppose maybe because it doesn't have the star power and, you know, it's not as appealing as a film might be. And partially maybe because it's not marketed in the same way. You know, you see ads for films on buses and TV and everything else, but you don't see it for games quite
so much. Pretty rarely.
Yeah, but still, it's big money and a lot of money being made and clearly being lost as well in this industry.
Can you still play Crash Bandicoot?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
How?
Yeah.
Because you can't buy it on a disc anymore. I'm showing my age.
You'll have to download it on, like, because all of these consoles now have, you know, online stores within the console.
Yeah.
So I'm fairly certain you're probably on the PlayStation.
I'll have to search him out. He was my favourite.
What about Mario, though? Mario's the best.
No, Crash Bandicoot every time.
Mario Kart. We'll have to have a Mario Kart tournament.
We'll watch each other playing it. Adam, thanks so much. Out. Adam Maguire there from the RTÉ Business Desk. Now, science sheds more light on how climate change makes storms worse. That's next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.